The sport of Ultimate Frisbee is taking steps toward becoming part of the Olympics. This is not a next step or a next week or next Olympics thing and might never happen. But Ultimate's lovers, they tend to drop Frisbee, we're told, are enthusiastic about the sport no matter what. Is it like soccer and basketball and football all at once? Well, kind of. Let's learn more about Ultimate and its cozying up to the various Olympic committees. Two guests are with us. Bethany Kaler is on the University of Oregon Fugue women's Ultimate team and is quite a good player, we're told. Bethany, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. We also have with us Tom Crawford, the executive director of USA Ultimate, the sports national organization. Tom, welcome to you.
Great to be with you.
Tell us how long USAU has been around.
So, yeah, USA Ultimate's coming up on its 50th anniversary in just a couple of years. So we've been around for quite a long time, changed quite a bit over the years, but, have been focused on the sport of Ultimate in the United States for quite a long time, and we are growing like crazy.
Well, if the organization's been around for 50 years, then the sport is a lot older, I think, than people tend to guess. How long has the sport been? 50 years? Can we guess that much?
Almost, yeah. It was founded by actually some high school kids and kind of took on a life of its own. It was very grassroots and then got more and more organized. And now, as Bethany well knows, as one of our national champions at Oregon, we have over 800 colleges and universities around the United States that organize really good teams every year and compete for the national championships.
So, Bethany, tell us about your team, like why it's called Fugue, for example.
Right. Okay. So, Oregon Fugue, it's kind of a bizarre entity. The word fugue, I believe, has two meanings, or so I've been told. One, I believe, is when notes come together in harmony in music, or something of that nature, musically. And the second is kind of a dreamlike state of mind where you lose consciousness. And so those kind of both embody Fugue as a team. It's kind of a place where you're able to be your best self without worrying about making yourself into a certain form, I suppose. And so in that way, we have all these pieces coming together. People with different skill sets. Maybe someone doesn't know how to throw, but maybe they're super, super fast. Maybe someone is really good at defense, but can't really convert on offense. But that's okay, because we'll use the assets that you have to the best of our ability. And so you kind of, in some sense, lose yourself, but you come into this greater space, I guess, where you're existing like with all of your teammates and you have this final goal. And whether it's winning a national championship or just coming to know yourself, it's amazing. So I guess that's kind of a long-winded way to explain why we're called Fugue.
It got us going, though. But I'm just curious to know about how what got you interested in the sport in the first place. I mean, had you played other things and then saw Ultimate Frisbee and went, I have got to do that?
So I grew up playing pretty competitive soccer. But my dad has always been around Frisbee. So he started his team in college many years ago, and it was, like, really relaxed. But all of my life during the summer, my dad played summer league, so I was just toted around to the fields and just would hang out while he played for a couple hours. But I resisted it for a long time because he assumed I would play and I was being a teenager and rebelling. And so I thought I would just go to like a D3 school and play soccer. But he was coaching a high school team and my brother plays too. My brother was on this team and they needed another girl for a tournament. And so that was the beginning of my high school years. And I played the tournament and fell in love. And I guess I haven't looked back. Yeah.
All right, a long time playing the sport then. And then so, Tom, you had mentioned that you're growing like crazy at USA Ultimate. I mean, how many people play the sport and how fast has the growth of the sport been?
Yeah, so there are over 5 million people that play the sport in the United States, and there is probably about 8 million around the world. And it is growing. We've been growing double digits every year for at least the past 6 years while I've been involved. And our fastest growing division is our youth division. So what sort of the history of Ultimate is very college centric. So you'd play, much like Bethany, you would probably play soccer or hoops or whatever in high school, and then you'd get to college and you'd be exposed to Ultimate. And just like what happened with Bethany, you fell in love with it very quickly as soon as you saw it. So Now what's happening is that's happening at much younger ages. So down at the high school and even junior high school and what we call our youth club championships, it is, just, you know, again, double-digit growth every year. As kids are discovering it, they're finding it really interesting for a variety of reasons. The single most important reason is it is just flat-out wicked fun to play. And the minute you play it, you have so much fun that you just want to play it again and again. But there's other elements to it that many people find really, really appealing and different from other sports, and I think that's why we're growing so quickly.
We're talking to Tom Crawford, the executive director of USA Ultimate, the governing body for Ultimate Frisbee in the United States, and Bethany Kaler, who's on the University of Oregon's Fugue Women's Ultimate Team. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments, 800-838-3760. You might have your own Ultimate Frisbee stories to share as well, jx@jeffnet.org, if you want to join us by email. How fast did the wicked fun part of it become clear to you once you began playing it, Bethany?
Pretty immediately. It's just, I was, I don't know, like 14 or 15 and just running around and catching frisbee. I couldn't throw. I was pretty bad. But people were so nice, and it was just a totally different environment than club soccer. Not worse or better, just way different, and one that I hadn't experienced. And it was awesome to compete physically at the highest level, but also to have spirit of the game and to just feel like everyone was, I don't know, being honest and having a good time. So it was pretty immediate.
I gather it does bear some comparisons to soccer. I mean, there's similar numbers of players on
totally.
The field's similarly arranged, and you're passing up field to try to get to score goals. So tell us about just the general run of play.
Oh, boy. Okay, so it's 7v7, and it's the length of a soccer field and half the width. So you have 70 yards to work with, and then you have your end zones. And you catch it to score a point, so you can only score one point at a time. You have to catch it in the end zone like you would in football. But the field spacing is very much like soccer. So there's offense and defense, 7v7. And you, I guess you proceed with the play by catching the frisbee. You can't run with it. So it's pretty much you catch, you stop, and you throw. So they're generally handlers and cutters. So if you think of like in basketball, the people who can handle the ball really well, who can dribble, who can make things happen, those are the handlers in frisbee. They have really good disc skills. Then you get your big kids or your fast kids or your kids who are good in the air downfield as your cutters, and they're typically the ones scoring goals. Whether or not they have great throwing skills, it varies, but so it's kind of split into that. And there are certainly people who flex in between, but in order to score, like I said, you have to catch it in the end zone, and then play stops, and you restart the pull. So the pull is the beginning pass from one end zone to the other to signify the beginning of play.
So there's no running with the disc, though, under any circumstances.
Exactly. So you get three steps to slow yourself. So if you're just in a full-on sprint and you catch the disc in stride, you get, you know, it's not like you have to stop on a dime. You get, like, a step or two to plant. But you can't just run with it like you would in football.
Do you get called for traveling like in basketball?
Exactly, yeah. So you would call travel, and then the person has to walk back, play stops. It's a walk back to where they should have stopped, and then the disc comes back into play. Yeah.
Tom Crawford, it sounds like the kind of game that leaves you breathless.
It is unbelievably entertaining. So we have ESPN as our television partner, and all of our major events are on ESPN throughout the year, and it's actually one of the reasons that it's so appealing to the International Olympic Committee and U.S. Olympic Committee is we've kind of proven that that it is incredibly entertaining. It's just fun to watch. It's nonstop action, as Bethany just described. There's, you know, it's up and down the field. Some points can last a really long time if there's a couple of great Ds, so athletes have to be really aerobically fit. But they also have to be incredibly quick and fast and powerful. And all of that is happening really quickly on the field. And everybody gets it right away, even if you haven't seen it before. It's pretty easy for everybody in the American public that's watched sports to understand you score by catching an object in an end zone. Everybody in the U.S. gets that really easily. So it's really fun to watch, really fun to play. And so, you know, it's very entertaining and very, yeah, A lot of youth appeal, which is another thing that appeals to the Olympic committees. And at the highest level, the very highest levels, we play mixed gender. So it's men and women competing against other men and women, another unique element of the sport that the IOC finds very appealing.
So is there no contact in the sport, no setting picks or blocks or anything like that?
There are no picks. Actually, that's one of the things that can get called by the athletes. If there's a pick, you reset. It is generally non-contact, although, you know, to be really honest, if there's two great athletes going up for a disc in the end zone, there's contact sometimes. But it is a non-contact sport. I think that's another thing that's really appealing to parents these days is, as I described, you get incredibly fit and healthy playing the sport. You don't even know you're getting fit and healthy because you're having so much fun. But a lot of the dangers of some of the other sports with concussions and major injuries are not the case in ultimates. Another reason for its great appeal right now.
Tom Crawford is the executive director of USA Ultimate, the governing body for ultimate frisbee in the United States. Bethany Kaler is a champion player on the University of Oregon Fugue women's team. 800-838-3760 if you want to talk about ultimate frisbee and its viability as an Olympic sport, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Bethany, it sounds like the way the rules are set up, the issue that you have in some other sports with the people you'd call ball hogs, I guess you'd call them disc hogs in ultimate, but they can't do that because nobody gets to run with it.
Yeah, theoretically, I guess you have to think of disc hog in a different way. So, yeah, you can't run with it. Not necessarily the time you spend with the disc, but you could be a disc hog in the amount of touches you get on a disc.
Uh-huh.
So if you're demanding, if you're taking up other people's space in order to set yourself up to get the disc. But generally, I guess the idea of disc hogs, it doesn't really happen too much in frisbee. People who need to get the disc a lot, like say on a college women's team, because maybe they're the best player, the best thrower on their team, and in order to succeed, they need to have the disc in their hands a lot in order to make good things happen. But I would say rarely is it like in soccer or basketball where you have a pretty good team and then one player still wants to hog the disc. It just doesn't work out too well. The defense is able to pick up on it and adjust accordingly in order to deny that person the disc, and it clogs up other people's space. So that's not generally too much of a worry.
I mean, I'm impressed, too, by the fact that the rules encourage people to do a lot of moving without having the disc because they're trying to get open.
Yeah, it certainly makes you think of space in more creative ways, particularly, I guess, in any sport. But on the field, you kind of have to predicate your movements upon what you assume how other people will move. And so you're just kind of creating all these multiple scenarios and the way the disc will fly and the way the handler might come back for the disc. And so you're kind of always thinking a couple steps ahead, like cutting for the next pass instead of the pass that's about to go off.
Like chess on a board that's always moving.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Tom Crawford, what are the odds at this point? What has happened to make the ultimate organizations, both nationally and internationally, closer to the Olympic committees at those levels?
Yeah, so one of the development that's been incredibly helpful for us is what they called the 2020 reforms, the IOC 2020 reforms. And it was a very big move that the IOC just recently made to kind of reform the Olympic program. There were two big elements to it. One was the bid city element, where they're trying to make it a lot less expensive for host cities and countries to host the Olympic Games, because obviously the costs were escalating out of control. And, you know, they actually had one Winter Games just coming up where only two cities ended up bidding. So that was one of the big pushes. The other was to change the program. And what they realized was that a lot of Olympic sports were becoming irrelevant to younger generations. And they wanted to make sure that the Olympic Games stayed relevant and stayed important and interesting to sort of the millennials and the younger generations. And so they're creating an opening for new sports to get on the program, and particularly new sports just like us. So sports that are mixed gender, sports that are very appealing to millennials and to young athletes, sports that add value to the games. And one of the things that they are really intrigued about is this ethos that we have that is just beautiful, called Spirit of the Game. That is a really powerful element of ultimate that I didn't understand at all 6 years ago. And when I saw it felt it and sort of experienced it. It's one of the reasons people fall in love with the sport, because it's a guiding principle. If you don't sign up for it, you don't play ultimate. And it is all about playing with integrity and respect. And it's kind of an ethos that just takes hold. So you got athletes like Bethany that are amazing athletes competing at the highest level. And it's super competitive. But at the same time, as she was describing earlier, there's this ethos that's part of it where it just feels different. It feels special because there's no officials. The athletes are in charge. And it creates a different element to the sport that it's almost hard to describe. But when you see it and feel it, it's really beautiful. So we've got all of those things going for us in addition to growing very quickly all over the world, which is another thing that the IOC looks for, as well as proving that it's highly entertaining on TV, which is really important for the program. So we're able to check a lot of the boxes that they're looking for in this 2020 reform movement, and as a result, we're actually really growing really optimistic that we're going to get on the program.
Bethany, that might take a while, though, and so you'd be a little on in years for an ultimate Frisbee player, maybe, but do you have a season left? I mean, you're still playing for Fugue?
Yeah, so I have one season left with Oregon Fugue, so I'm taking a fifth year. As many Frisbee players do in college, find a way, if they can, to stay to finish out the last year. Let's go to the F5. And then after that, I guess I'll totally commit to Club Frisbee. So Club Ultimate is in the summer, also held by USAU, and so it's when college players can play, but also adults players can play. There's no age.
Okay,
age
lots of ultimate left in you, I can tell. Bethany Kaler, placer, University of Oregon Fugue. Tom Crawford's the executive director of USA Ultimate. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
My pleasure. Thanks.
All right, take it easy.
Thank you.